Friends, welcome back to The Schwitz. I'm Ben at Boy With No Job, and I'm here with Victor and Jack. Boys, welcome back. How we doing?
Thanks for having us, Ben. Back to our own show. Thanks for the introduction. I'm pretty stoked to be here. How about you, Vic?
Wicked psyched to be here.
Ooh, I like that. Was that Boston?
I mean, I'm certainly not rooting for them tomorrow night, but...
Ooh, that sounded like Boston.
It's a thick accent. It's probably the... The heat in here is getting to you.
Where's your car?
It's one of my top five imitations. I've got several different voices. That's one of the best.
Several different iterations.
Give us another voice. I don't think I've heard any of these voices. Give us one.
Give them that other one, that good one. You know.
Which one?
The one, you know.
We're going north, beyond the wall, for thousands of years. These men gave their lives to the Night's Watch.
That works.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
That's still Irish, though, isn't it?
It is. It's a half Irish, half Westeros.
Where are they from?
It's an Italian
Where are they from? Westeros. But I'm saying, like, what?
I can't do this.
I might have been wrong. I thought it was St. Paul, Minneapolis.
I'm just saying, what is that?
Well, it's either St. Paul or it's Minneapolis, hence the Twin Cities of Minnesota.
Of Minnesota. St. Paul. Well, the greater St. Paul, Minneapolis area, like Dallas-Fort Worth.
Can we also talk about how they all speak English?
I mean, it's English. It's just got an accent. I was talking about accents.
No, but I'm just saying, Game of Thrones, all in English. Everyone speaks English.
Well, they're Americans.
Except the Dothraki.
Where's the authenticity?
Did this guy even watch?
They're American. Game of Thrones? You know that, right? Yeah, they're American.
Where is the authenticity?
They're actors. But are we going to talk geography here? Or are we going to? We're going to get to the real stuff.
We can get to the real stuff. How was your weekend?
Go ahead.
You want to take this?
I'll take this. Go ahead. You had some fucking weekend. So
I had a something weekend.
Yeah, you did. A couple of, not an Arnold Palmer. A
couple
of
mocktails.
That's what we call a John Daly.
Oh, my God.
We were at our friend's.
You had a John Daly?
Country club.
A John Daly? He had three John Dalys. Was swerving all over the course. Almost hit me.
Park
ranger.
You let him get behind the wheel. He doesn't have a license.
Three John Dalys.
What the fuck is a John Daly?
Two and a couple Heineken lights.
He drove into a bunker.
What?
John Daly.
No.
Okay, so you have your
Arnold.
Did you
drive into a bunker?
No, I was fine. So you have your Arnold Palmer. Lemonade, iced tea.
I know, I'm American.
Toss some vodka in it. That, my friends, is a John Daly.
He goes up to them, he's like, hey guys, can I get a John Palmer? They're like, Daly?
Have you ever been on a golf course? Have you ever been on a golf course?
Been on a golf course, never played on a golf course, did have a great day, hit the buffet, hit the barbecue, perfect. It was, I think it was like 82, 78, gorgeous weather, slight breeze. This is when I thrive.
Most men
who wear shorts in that weather thrive. The guys who are wearing pants, I don't understand how they
How many
do it.
Takes did you guys have for that perfect shot of you smoking the cigar while Ben had a putter digging into his right testicle?
I certainly had no clue that was being photographed.
Yeah, Ben is mid-sentence, and that is what we call a one-take dig, my friend.
Is that a comfortable position with a Scotty Cameron digging into your right nut?
No, but you know what was amazing? They let me just rent it for the day.
It's called
$400 putter. I tried it.
It's a private golf course.
Yeah, but it's not my private golf course. I could not have returned it.
You're going to go somewhere and just not return a Scotty Cameron.
Should have taken four. Yeah. Put them on eBay.
See, Vic, you should have rented a club. You could have had a Scotty, maybe a set of TaylorMade's, Cleveland wedges.
Look, it was Sunday. I'm not working up too much of a sweat. More than I do anyways.
He didn't need any clubs. He had two burgers, hot dog.
Nine John Daly's.
Don't forget the steak.
Steak.
Steak, small amount of peas.
I don't know why. I had a salad for 40. The biggest salad. No. The biggest salad you've ever seen. This is what I was eating.
For the record, people, this is at a country club that neither Ben nor I belong to. We just... reaping the benefits while hanging with our boys.
Mooch season. Jack, where were you?
Well, now I feel bad that I was at my own country club.
Oh, please. Stinking it up.
You'll see me out there on Saturday.
I was not with these fools. I was down south, played some golf, hung out with the fam. No pictures taken. No John Daly's. a couple transfusions. You guys ever have a transfusion?
About to say, if there wasn't a fusion up in there.
That's a, you know me. I'm a transfusion guy out
is,
on the course.
Is that the one with, it's very
with
sugary.
Grape juice.
Yes, yes.
It feels so good when it hits your lips.
Get a double.
Oof.
Yeah, that puts you out. But you start swinging the club much lighter, carefree.
What's even better is if you put the grape cough syrup in there. You do that, you just... That's a great time.
Yeah, I keep that in the in the ball pocket of my bag with the other good stuff.
Speaking of a ball pocket, my brother-in-law sent me a picture. It's Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton. What?
Brother-in-law.
Like my mind almost exploded. I thought your younger sister married. I thought your younger sister got married before I remembered that you have now,
I have brother-in-law.
That you're married.
My brother. It's actually brothers-in-law.
No. My one singular brother-in-law.
No, I'm saying just the plural. He said I have brother-in-laws.
I have a brother-in-law that sent me the link to a Louis Vuitton golf ball pouch. It holds one singular golf ball and is a cheap $299.99.
I know exactly which of your brother-in-law's named Zach sent it to you.
Yes.
They're both named Zach.
He's a connoisseur.
Yep.
Also this weekend, there was some tragic news of David Ortiz. Shout out to, honestly, a guy that we all grew up watching and rooting against. But as Yankee fans, nothing but respect for David Ortiz. And we're praying for him. He was shot this weekend. And
In the Dominican Republic, right?
Yeah, in his home country. It was really crazy.
Thoughts and prayers.
Classy move by the Bo Sox to pick him up in the PJ and, just fire him back out to Boston.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow. Good.
I mean, if you're ever going to deploy your resources, that's the time.
It's the time.
Yeah, fire out the PJ, honestly.
Turn this into a talk about private jets.
Yeah, we were paying our respects to David Ortiz. It's not about the private.
It actually might have been the team plane. I don't know if it was.
I guess that's a PJ.
That's under the umbrella.
It's a PJ.
If anybody wants to send us a PJ, I mean, hey, we'll go down to the Dominican, then come back on the.
I want those miles.
I'll take those miles. You want to throw us a couple miles?
All you got to do is get shot. You can go right on the PJ.
Dark.
Well, certainly provides good luck going into that Game 7. We got Stanley Cup Finals.
Oh, yeah.
You talk about good karma.
We're talking about hockey?
We are talking about hockey. When it's Game 7, the two greatest words in sports.
Let's just touch upon it, like a light touch on hockey.
I was listening earlier to the only guy that I've ever heard talk about hockey, and that would be Barry Melrose, because he is the only person employed on TV that talks about hockey. And he said that the Boston Bruins are bringing home the cup for Big Papi.
Is he still on ESPN?
He is.
He is. That hair is just getting longer and longer and greasier and greasier.
And those suits are just getting louder and stripier and boxier.
And bigger. The biggest suits. The only person who wears bigger suits than Barry Melrose is Victor Webb.
Whoa. Yeah. I mistook Vic.
I thought
for,
you were going to say Dwight Howard.
I'm not giving you a fist pound, Vic. I'm pointing at you.
Give me the Iguodala point right there.
I'm pointing at you.
You give me that Andre Iguodala.
You're not as big as Ben is saying you are.
No, he's small. He wears a big suit. I don't know why. He always wears just a broad shoulder, big suit.
It allows for the airflow to seep in.
It makes him aerodynamic.
That is true. So what do you think is going to happen in this Boston game?
Well, it's Boston. It's St. Louis. It's hockey. So a couple shots on net. And I think one of the teams is going to score more than the other, and that team will probably win.
All right, good. Vic, you?
This is Blues, Bruins, nice alliteration we got going on. I am rooting for St. Louis. I'm going to be finding the only St. Louis Blues bar in all of Manhattan tomorrow to watch this game. Slurp down some brewskis with the people from the Arch, repping.
Shout out Hood and Ales, right? Hood and Ales?
Wooden Ales.
Wooden, yeah.
And while we're doing shout-outs, shout-out Nelly. St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis. Great album.
Oh, I knew you guys weren't going to get that, so I just
great
filled
album.
In the blanks.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Is it because it's hot in here? Seriously, I want to take off all my clothes.
I mean, yeah.
All right, I'm going to save you guys both, and we're going to go talk about basketball.
Fuck yeah.
The only thing that we truly know how to talk about. Game 5, last night. Holy smokes. I think that was one of the best playoff basketball games I've ever watched in my life.
That was one of the best basketball games I've ever watched.
The Raptors were in full control. They seized momentum. 3 minutes left. All of a sudden, Nick Nurse, who, by the way, has his own merch. You can buy it online, nicknurse.com. Yes.
It's really cool merch.
It's really cool merch. He calls a timeout with 3 minutes left. Seems to completely stunt the momentum.
As Kawhi is on his own 10-0 run. I think he had 2 threes, had a couple buckets at the rim.
They had all the momentum, and he called the timeout.
They may have had all the momentum at that point, but the entire game leading up to it, the Warriors were in full control. This is after Kevin Durant's already left with an injury. I don't have a problem with the timeout there because they had four remaining, whereas the Warriors only had one because they were trying to slow them down. My problem really comes at the end of the game when you have the timeout in your back pocket, broken play, you're down one, shot clock's off. There's no time. If you miss the shot, it's basically over. And it was a completely broken play. So that end, I have a problem with Nick Nurse. The timeout with the momentum swing, I understand all the fans at home and everybody in the arena, and you guys are looking at me like I got seven heads.
Because you're wrong.
Honestly, if you don't call that timeout, there's a rule. No, you lose it.
You do lose it. They had all four left.
Look, number one, I'm sorry for cutting you off. The Warriors were not ever in control of that game. The refs were in control of that game the first three quarters.
I think it was a really bad timeout.
How many illegal screens did Draymond Green set at the top of the key during that game that weren't called?
Who cares?
I don't know, but I think you just got fined 25 grand for talking about the refs.
How many?
Who cares?
Yeah, but refs will always be inconsistent.
On an offensive foul by Draymond Green.
No, but I'm saying they couldn't get within six because the refs didn't let them until the third quarter ended. They finally let them play. The Raptors seized momentum, and Nick Nurse chucked it down the drain.
The problem is you're on a 10-0 run with the best guy on the court. Kevin Durant got hurt. Prayers up because he's going to be in blue and orange next year. But you have the best guy on the court, and he's absolutely feeling it. You don't call a timeout. He was clearly winded. You let Fred VanVleet or Kyle Lowry work. Honestly, work the ball. Take time. You're up six in the fucking finals. Take your time. Let him gather his breath. Instead, you call a timeout. There's no need to call a timeout and let Steph and Clay and Steve Kerr drew up two masterful plays to get two quick threes. I mean, you just handed them a couple easy buckets.
And in my opinion, probably handed them an NBA championship.
I think it really might be because I don't know if they're going to go into Oracle. This crowd, especially after the Raptor crowd clapping, this crowd is going to be memorable. Years down the line, we are going to say game six, that Warriors crowd could have won them the game. Steph called them out, saying the fans even KD called it out in that tweet, in that Instagram. He goes, the fans at Oracle are going to be freaking nuts. Okay?
Yeah, and by the way, if the Raptors don't win game six, which they probably won't.
I don't think they do.
How do you win game seven?
You are jumping to conclusions that I can't even recognize as I sit here. Because as you both acknowledge, Kawhi was going, I like to call it video game mode.
Kobe mode.
And he goes, 10-0 run. Kobe mode works for me too. I'm a big fan of that.
Mamba. Yeah.
If he does that there, what's to say he can't do it in game six or game seven? And they just won two in Oracle. And this is going to be the same team. They can bounce back. And this is sort of what I said before we recorded for games three and four. The Raptors have something to salvage. They were right there once again. Maybe they'll hear me and win this game also, because there's no reason to believe that they can't win. I understand the momentum, the omen of the fans clapping. Clearly some fans just don't understand when a player is grabbing for his calf like that, that there's a serious injury happening.
It was a little messed up.
It was messed up. And I think if they could take it back, they would. The same way,
I agree,
whatever his name in the Warriors front office shoved Kyle Lowry and was fined $500,000 and is banned for a year.
Banned for four games.
The rest of the year.
He's back at the
new arena. The rest of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Okay,
it's a little weak.
But when they need him most to shove somebody, who are they going to call on?
No, but it makes
sense. Mark Silver!
I don't think it's over. And besides my point about if you saw what they did in the other games, you know, the Warriors have won two games in the waning seconds. They almost blew it in game two when Iguodala takes that three. He misses it. Maybe the Raptors drop some broken play, and we're talking about Nick Nurse again. They've won two very close games while having double-digit leads and controlling most of it. This is a team that can let it slip away. I can't even believe I'm saying this about guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, but they have not had their stuff right. Last night, sure, they're playing for KD, But there's no reason to believe that the Raptors can't go in there and win game six, steal one on the road, come back to Toronto, celebrate on Saturday, Sunday, whatever day they're doing it. And we're talking about a parade.
I think it's Sunday because the game's on Thursday.
Or is it two?
You got to look at the supporting cast. Yes. I mean, it's, in my opinion, it's the elite players on the floor are Kawhi, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. We saw from last night, boy, do we love Spicy Pete, but that guy was non-existent. You got to look at, it's a one-on-three almost, because Kawhi sometimes doesn't get the help, and in Oracle, I do not think he's going to get the help. And I think when you come back to Toronto, I personally think Toronto still pulls it out in Game 7. I don't know why, but I just think that crowd and the supporting cast just plays better in the six, but they're not going to win an Oracle. You heard it here. They're not winning an Oracle. And Game 7 is going to be a real nail biter because there's still Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. What have you seen what Klay Thompson has done these last two games since the hammy injury?
It's not even 1-on-3, as you said. It's 1-on-4 because DeMarcus Cousins
looked
a little bit like himself last week. And if he continues to progress, he looked so horrible in Game 4. So horrible. And Game 5, he came out, didn't have the same turnovers, was aggressive going to the rim, and if he is anything like he just was, they can win this series easily.
Let's not put DeMarcus Cousins on a pedestal just yet.
No,
I agree.
He
did have an offensive goaltending, a defensive goaltending, and a crucial offensive foul with that moving screen. But you see him coming along, and I think, first of all, could we agree that he was gonna be sat the whole game up until Durant got hurt?
Yep.
And that might be the greatest guy off the bench that would have, you know, been sitting. Like, he went from, you're not going to play because you can't play defense, to we're about to play this perennial all-star because we lost Kevin Durant, and we're going to fill him in with DeMarcus Cousins. It's not like you're putting in Jonas Jerebko.
No.
You're still getting, like,
it's
a guy
Jonas,
who...
Jonas
Jerebko.
You get to put in Boogie, but Kevin Durant just saved DeMarcus Cousins' career, in my opinion.
I couldn't disagree more.
If he doesn't play in that last game,
I think he got him a
couple
million.
The guy makes no money next year.
That's just not even true.
He's making money, but he made him some M's.
He's playing fourth fiddle, and he's barely played this season overall. The fact that you two can sit here with serious faces and say Kawhi has gotten no help. I almost wish we did an episode after games 3 and 4.
He has help.
You guys said 1-on-3, 1-on-4, 1-on-5, 6, 7, 8.
These Draymond and Klay don't disappear. They don't
correct. And they've been there the whole playoffs and the whole NBA finals.
But Pascal just disappeared. Marcus Gasol.
So you had other guys filling. You had Van Vliet. You had Ibaka.
But those are different guys. It's not like I can say Van Vliet is going to give me 20 a game. Klay, game four had 28.
I would love a I would love a definition of different guys.
Different guys. You know, different guys. Not the same guy.
No one is clearly the same on this score, but guys have stepped up for the Raptors in every game, no matter who it is.
Yes, but I can't point out who is going to step up. Game one, it was Pascal Siakam.
Isn't that the beauty of it? That most championship teams have this massive puzzle.
I love it.
And it doesn't matter who's a piece, but everybody's a piece.
I love this
kind of feels like that Toronto team.
I love it, but I can't say, Pascal, you're going to play second fiddle to Kawhi and go out and give me 23 points. Because last night, he shit the bed. And yeah, Danny Green, game two.
Danny Green shat the bed last night. By the way,
that's fine.
Can we talk about the fact that Jack jinxed him? Yeah, Danny Green got a triple-double game one. No,
Thank
he
you.
Didn't, and he completely disappeared.
I'm repenting, okay? I said Danny Green. I looked it up on my phone. D Green. I gave Danny the benefit of the doubt. The guy had 11-2-2.
I want to know if Danny Green has one triple-double in his entire NBA career.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Last night, the guy had like 8-3-1.
8-3-1.
Let's see what he had. Last night, Danny, quadruple-double. 4 points, 5 boards, 0 assists. Dude, that's fire.
Yeah, but you're reading one guy's stat line.
That's your starting two.
My problem is that there's a clear abandonment of the body of work that the Raptors have laid forth up until this point, and up until yesterday, when it sounded like everyone thought that it was ending in Toronto.
Yeah. They had their chance. It was supposed to end in Toronto. It didn't. The Raptors had their chance. I think that this parade ends in Oakland. Golden State Warriors, top the Toronto Raptors in seven games. While there's going to be a parade in Oracle, there is a funeral happening in New York. Kevin Durant single-handedly changed the future of the Knicks with one torn ACL.
As well as the landscape of the entire NBA. Because I still think the Knicks get Durant, but we're getting a guy without a right Achilles. We're getting a guy who's about to sit a quarter, at least a quarter of the contract.
Yeah, and we look, I know that we didn't have, and Vic's already rolling his eyes. I know that we didn't have Kevin Durant. It's not about having Kevin Durant. And these are, it's classic Knicks fans. We're very optimistic. We pull at straws because we are probably the worst team in professional sports because we have the most money and the worst team every single year. And it felt like we had Kevin Durant. Now,
and
culture is going to shift.
And assets to go out and get and pair him with at least another stud.
Yeah, now it looks like Kyrie Irving's going to go to the Nets. Kevin Durant has a torn Achilles. Kawhi Leonard's going to lose and stay in the Raptors. And the Knicks are going to get Kemba Walker.
I've actually gone from eye-rolling to laughing because the Knicks have gone from we have nobody to we're getting Kevin Durant to we're getting Kevin Durant without a year and a half to wait, that's all we've got. We might draft RJ. We might trade him. There's so many question marks right now, and that, I think that makes it even worse.
By the way, you totally skipped on the phase where it was, yes, the Knicks are getting Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving,
well,
and Anthony Davis. I've
come to accept that
we're
every
Vegas,
Knicks fan
we're
believes.
Vegas had us winning the East or something.
Literally last week I sent to you guys that the Knicks were had the third best odds to win the title.
We were a dynasty.
we're going to win 12 games.
No one.
What am I going to do with this tattoo?
Yeah, it's really. How many people do you think got Knicks 2020 championship tattoos?
If you got a
over
Knicks,
under three.
If you got a Knicks 20, if you got a Knicks tattoo at all, please send it and let us just bask in the glory of you getting a really shitty tattoo.
Probably the worst tattoo you could possibly get. Probably the worst tattoo you could possibly get.
A Jets tattoo.
It's really sad.
Rex Ryan's Mark Sanchez tattoo is probably better than that.
It's really sad.
It's not a Bills tattoo.
I mean, who do you blame with this injury? Knicks fans are just going to blame everybody. But I don't know if you point a finger. I think it's going on the Warriors in general. If you couldn't do it with your three superstars and your Boogie Cousins and your Iguodala and you were down 3-1, you weren't getting – I respect the heart of a champion part, and that's what people love about Kevin Durant since he was at Texas. But I don't know who you blame. I think it's the whole Warriors.
I blame Kevin Durant. I blame him for three reasons. The first is he is a superstar, and if he doesn't think that he can go, he can easily say that he doesn't want to go. Number two is that he was dancing in the tunnel. He was doing his – that's what he does before every game, like his classic shimmy. It's like a lot of leg movements. The guy's coming off what was probably an Achilles before that they were calling a calf.
Leg injury.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that means.
Load management. Toss that in the vague categories of injuries that organizations
he was
use.
Seeing if he could go. I mean, wouldn't you like shake it off? See, it's not like he had to play. He was seeing if he could go. We've been speculating between the three of us all week, actually for the last 4 weeks. This might be an Achilles injury and we're all just in the dark and this is just the Warriors being the villains and trying to keep everyone guessing.
They did keep everyone guessing.
They
keep lying.
They
Kevon did. Looney, they said it would be out for a year. The guy came back next game. And by the way, his chest looked fucked up again.
It is.
I'm switching what I said. It's on the Warriors organization. They're putting their players at risk.
What? Are you a parent?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They're at risk.
You sound like a parent.
The poor at-risk youth.
Children at risk. Why do we have to play the blame game?
We don't have to.
A guy that's number one in the world. His team's in the finals. This is what you play for. He wants to play. I think he would have played. He would have played the night after he heard it against. Who was
Houston.
It?
It was Houston.
It was Houston. He would have played the entire Blazers series. I mean,
no, I respect it. Kobe used to go out there with three fingers on a hand.
That's
so
Kobe.
I can't compare to Kobe. I don't mind it. I'm saying I love. The heart of the champion.
And
part.
As a Knicks fan, I love it.
I want to see that.
Yeah,
every
we
time.
Had the third best odds to win the championship.
What did AI say? I give everything I had.
There I am, thinking that we're going to be there. I'm like, Kevin Durant will play through anything. And those naysayers, those people who said Kevin Durant is holding himself out, how stupid are you? This is a guy fighting for his legacy, for his name. He's been living under the Stephen Curry billing for 3 years now. You think he's not going to get out there and try and save this team? You let him play because he's the best in the world. And Bob Myers delivered an incredible interview after.
Yeah, an incredible interview.
And he took the blame. There's no blame to be had because Kevin Durant was held out long enough. He said he's ready to go. The doctors okayed him. Did they say he's perfect? He's going to be in prime Kevin Durant form? No. What happened was a freak injury.
Yeah.
I think he re-aggravated the Achilles. You saw it. That's not a basketball move. His leg landed awkwardly. You let the guy play. There's no blame to be had. And unfortunately, us stupid fucking Knicks fans are the ones to pay.
Yep. We're fucked. I can't talk about this anymore. It's too depressing. Who do we have in the U.S. Open this weekend? Jack, who do you got?
I'm going to go with Rory McIlroy after absolutely obliterating the field at the Canadian Open. I think Rory at his best is as good, if not better, than anyone else. I know Brooks Koepka will be right behind him the entire time, neck and neck. But I'm going to go with Rory. I think he puts back-to-back wins together.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that guy, Koepka. The machine, as we like to call him. The guy has turned a sport that is so hard for, and I'm looking at two golfers right here, for everybody that gets
out.
Wow,
that is
so generous.
Thanks, man.
He gets out there and he makes it look as if I do when I'm on a golf cart and I'm driving around and I'm drinking John Daly's. So for me, I'm going for the guy that makes it look so damn easy because it just is for him. He doesn't even need 18 holes, he said once.
Vic, what are you doing this Saturday? You know, I think I'd like to invite you out to play a little golf.
Look, if I find myself in the township of in Monmouth County, I'll give you a ring.
There is There's nobody that spends more time in a golf cart and has never picked up a club than Victor Whiteman.
Yeah, the whole
it's
left,
pretty amazing.
The whole left side of your body is just, burnt.
Can I get that on my tombstone?
It's from the shade of the golf cart. It's just right in the middle of your face.
Well, I try to even it out, take the hat off, flick the hair back every now and then.
Yeah.
In between snacks, of course.
It looks good.
There's no dispute there that I'm eating all the time when
speaking
I'm
of looking good, Tiger Woods. That's my guy.
Big surprise, people.
Tiger! He's so good. He's just, honestly, he's gorgeous. You look at Tiger, you're like, oh my God, that is a guy.
Is that what we're doing?
Something that I need to tell you both.
Have you seen Brent Snedeker? That is one handsome man.
Handsome than Hideki Matsuyama. What is he? 40-1. You throw $1, you win 40.
I might throw a buck on Bryson DeChambeau, as we like to call him, the crafty douchebag.
He is the craftiest douchebag in the tournament.
He rocks the Kangol hat. All his clubs are sized, you know, they're the same size. It's not like the five iron is any longer than his pitching wedge. All the clubs are just
really
the same size.
Why?
I think he's got like a team of scientists that are in some lab in some Midwest state, deep in some dungeon, being held against their will, just crunching numbers and seeing the loft and of clubs, and he thinks he's the smartest one in the game.
It's the club foot, I think it makes him walk on an even keel.
The club foot, yes, Victor. Yes, Victor, that is it. You're one of them.
But I want to give a dark house, Tommy Fleetwood.
Dark house.
That hair flow. I said dark horse.
I'm going to give a nice dark house.
It sounds like a horror film.
Very down. Or a nice deep rave in Brooklyn.
Ooh.
Me in a warehouse.
Dark house.
Tommy Fleetwood, that flow. Give it to me any day of the week.
Pause.
You got it, Vic. We'll arrange something with Tommy Fleetwood. My bad.
I'm talking about the hair, people.
Tommy Fleetwood, Victor wants you to give it to him every day of the week. Speaking of getting it every day of the week, we polled Instagram to see what is your go-to summer cocktail.
Cocky season.
There were a couple of great answers. Let's bring them up on the poll.
Vic, what was yours again? You had a really fun
one. I go with the Mexican mule, which, for everyone out there, it's a Moscow Mule. It's just tequila instead of vodka. But let me tell you something. If it doesn't come in that copper mug, I am sending that drink back. There is an art to the mule, and if people don't want to perfect it and they want to put it on their cocktail menu, they should take a hike.
Art to the mule.
Damn. Say it, though, and spread it.
What's a people were writing Kentucky Mule. What's a Kentucky Mule?
That might be bourbon, which just sounds disgusting. So what, you bourbon, ginger beer, and I don't even want to finish the rest of that.
Ooh, watermelon mojito. I can get behind a watermelon mojito.
What's a Palo Maloma by, oh, Vic, that's your brother. Maxwell Saul goes Palo Maloma.
Vic, you got to know
that's
that
definitely
is.
Very crafty.
That's very crafty.
He's a chef.
They used to make that the back.
You know what I submitted? A slippery nipple. I don't know what's in it yet, but sounds like a good name.
Sounds like a good name.
That
goes in the category with sex on the beach. Don't know what's in it. Never will. Just know that it's a cocktail.
Nope.
No. See, I don't know that slippery nipple is actually a cocktail.
Sex on the beach is a cocktail.
I know that, but what about slippery nipple?
I think they're both in the sexual drinks category.
I think it's just a nice big wet kiss.
Yeah, honestly, I'm all over that strawberry daiquiri. That's what I'm going to be drinking all summer long.
You really love those strawberry daiquiris.
I have enough sugar where they're going to need to amputate my foot.
What? I like the spicy marg call. We've got a couple listeners submitting spicy margs. I do love a good spicy marg. Hold the spiced rim though. I don't love. The whole rim. You know what I'm talking about? Like the little sugar rim.
There's levels to the cocktail game, and some people dive into that rim.
Sometimes it's nobody's business. It tastes like a Marlboro Red. Like why do I need that on my...
God, a Marlboro Red. Shoot me now.
Literally, shoot me.
Meg F16 said a Dave Matthews. What is it?
I see that too. And she said it's so delicious.
What is a Dave Matthews drink? Can somebody look that up? What is a Dave Matthews?
I
Jesus, Google!
All right, here we go. A delicious recipe for Dave Matthews with amaretto, almond liqueur, Captain Morgan, parrot-baked coconut rum, pineapple juice, and cranberry juice.
Too many ingredients.
God, you lost me, Meg, amaretto. Meg. Oh, my goodness.
Captain Morgan and coconut.
Meg, try a salty dog. Emuncie89, a salty dog. We looked that up. It's grapefruit juice with either gin or vodka. And a salted rim. No, as long as you're not giving me a Marlboro Red on top of my drink, I could get behind that.
Not either. It's vodka and gin.
No, it's
I saw
or.
An or.
It's or. I saw an and.
Where? What are you at?
And or.
Soft's too busy looking at that Long Island iced tea recipe, which just has everything in it.
Long Island iced teas are great.
How'd you mistake an or for an and?
I prefer just a shot of Fireball. Get my night going.
Literally, just collapse upon...
Yep. It's not only going to get your night going, it may have you winding up in some alley with your shirt off and a girl behind you. Yep. Sorry.
And that's our show. Thank you guys so much for tuning into episode 3 of The Schwitz. You can follow us on Instagram at The Schwitz. Join our private Facebook group at The Schwitz.
Schwitzers.
Oh, The Schwitzers.
Yeah. It's a collective community. We're helping each other out. Everyone, you know, it's kind of like a Craigslist type of thing. Everyone helps each other. The Schwitzers. It's a real tight-knit bond.
It is. Vic currently has 9 people living with him. He's housing all of the Schwitzers.
I don't know how we got into Craigslist. I haven't heard someone say Craigslist since the days of exchanging Ultra tickets.
It's like a TaskRabbit kind of platform where we each help each other.
Yeah, that's exactly what our Facebook group is. Join so you can see that's not at all what it is. It's just a community where we talk about sports. I'm Ben Soffer at Boy With No Job.
I'm Jack at Jack Not John.
I'm Vic at V Web. Go Raps!
Keto season!